أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين. صلى الله على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب الله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجهم. Regarding the moral aspects of the month of Ramadan, the importance of observing the moral conditions for this month, I will just speak in brief about some philosophical perspective and then emphasize on the ahadith regarding this holy month of Ramadan and how they affect our fasting. We know in general that in this world that we live in, people are of two basic perspectives. People follow two basic worldviews. There are people who limit all their energies to material pursuits, you know, material goals. They believe that everything in this life is about matter, and matter means material things, financial things, money, you know, anything that eventually leads to material gain. I don't know, out of, for example, 10 people, how many people would be materialists, but my guess is that a majority of people are following the materialist worldview. The other remaining population are those people who follow a spiritual worldview. They believe that not everything is material, every goal and every intention, not every action is done for material reasons. They believe that material reasons do have a weight in our calculations, but there is another aspect which they believe is more important than the material aspect, which is that there is a spiritual goal, there is a spiritual angle to everything. When you are doing something that apparently is a material action or some gain that seems to be a material gain, there is a deeper value, a spiritual value in doing that action. Alaykum as-salam. So for instance, the materialist would insist that every action is done for some sort of financial gain. But if I ask you, for example, you all got up today and came to the masjid, for one person, maybe I'll go to the masjid and do iftar. Well, that is a material gain, you know. If coming to masjid is for the sake of getting iftar, that is a material gain, you know. But coming to the lecture and listening to a hadith and, for example, benefiting from that, if the intention is that I will go to the masjid tonight and try to revive my iman, try to strengthen my iman, you know, learn something that would benefit me, if that is the goal, that itself is not a material goal. Or to say that I will come and, for example, pray in the masjid. Prayer itself is not a materialist goal, not a maddi, hadaf maddi. You know. It is a ruhani goal, right? And one has to always really dig into his own mind and soul, you know, and figure out what is my goal in doing this action. The same action may be done by a believer for a spiritual purpose, although it may also have a material gain. Who knows? For example, you got up tonight and you came to masjid thinking that I will pray here and I will learn something, and you meet someone who will provide you some material benefit also. You get food, you get to see people, maybe through that you find some connection, you find a job. You get a job, right? You may have some other benefits like that, material benefits. But a person who is materialist is always looking at things with a material perspective. He may call himself a Muslim or whatever he calls himself, but he's even meeting people thinking that, what can I get from this person? What is in it for me? You know, he's not thinking that I may provide some benefit to another person. In other words, let me put it this way. In doing an action, he's not thinking that, for example, there is a higher gain to be gotten out of this same action than just getting, for example, you know, this money from this person. Maybe by meeting this person who is a mu'min and I am a mu'min, maybe we together could serve Islam. Maybe, who knows, we can get something done for the community. For Islam, maybe we provide some service to the young people. For example, in this community, I understand that there are some refugees and there are people from different places. Well, people need help, right? I need help, you all need help, everybody needs help at some point in life. And you are talking to people thinking that exploring ways by which you can help people. Well, this is a spiritual goal. Because although you are giving your time and your money, but actually you are the one gaining from it. But that's because you believe that there is a spiritual gain which is of a higher value than just the calculations related to money. For a person who does not appreciate this spiritual goal in actions, right, he limits his whole life to what I am getting. That's about it. In every calculations, as I was mentioning the other night, inviting few people is thinking that I have spent so much money and time, what am I getting from this meeting? A person ends up inevitably becoming selfish. By being a materialist, he's a selfish person, self-centered person who only thinks about himself. Why? The reason is that he consciously or subconsciously believes material gain is all there is. Nothing else is of any value. And this, unfortunately, such people look at the society the same way. They even look at the prophets the same way. They say, for example, what was in it for them? Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raise that, you know, start that mission and establish that hukumat? He must have gotten something. Maybe he got hukumat. Maybe he got to marry so many times. Because the materialist, he doesn't think that way. She doesn't think that way, and cannot allow another person to think from any other perspective other than money. There must be some money or power or fortune or some pleasure in this action. Otherwise, some physical pleasure in that action. Otherwise, why would somebody do it? You know? But a person who has trained his mind and his soul, trained it to think and feel, to think about and plan about spiritual gain in actions, intellectual benefits, and also feel the spiritual pleasures. For example, the spiritual pleasure of praying, spiritual pleasure of learning something new, spiritual pleasure of sitting down and talking about some hadith or something important like that, that's important to him, from a religious perspective, philosophical perspective, you know. Even sometimes some social or political issue, to raise awareness, to know, for example, what is it that I can do to help some situation or whatever, right? Now such people who have trained their minds and trained their hearts to think about spiritual things and to feel the spiritual reason, right? They look at world differently. They look at history differently, society differently, they have different intentions when they do an action, right? They read Quran differently. The people who are looking for physical and material profits and benefits, right? They look at Quran also the same way. Like a businessman looking for some good bargain, deal, you know. Okay, what did I do? That's why Quran also sometimes speaks to such people in the same language. Hal adullukum ala tijaratin? Should I guide you to a deal, you know? A tijara? There are people who do deal with God, transaction. But okay, I give money, what do I get? So you get 10 times. Maybe even more. You know, do something for the orphans of other people. Who knows? Your orphans might need help the same way. Oh. Thinking about, Quran speaks to such people whose ibadat is the ibadat of tujjar. As in the words Kalimat al-Nurani of Mawlai Kainat Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam. Allahumma salam. That people worship or believe or obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one of the three reasons. One, the first reason is there's ibadat of abid, ibadat of the slaves. They pray to God for fear. They pray for fear. Why? Fear of what? Can you tell me? Fear of Jahannam, for example. Fear of hellfire. Oh, if I don't pray, I'm going to go to hell. Another group of people, they fear, they pray, and they do good actions, whatever they do, out of greed. Out of greed, you know. Greed of what? Sorry? Get something, yeah. The prayer, maybe by doing prayer in the masjid, maybe I my prayer accepted and I get the kind of house I'm looking for, maybe, you know. Maybe. This is you praying extra prayers and all of that because you think that this is the deal I'm making. Maybe it's like a good deal, you know. Like in an auction, you are in an auction, they're saying, okay, 221, 220, you know. It's like, oh, I was lucky to be at the right place at the right time. So the same way, if I am at the prayer in Jamaat, I get something right there. If I don't want to be late, because it's the time when they're offering all these bargains, giving out these things, you know, for cheap. And they're thinking that, you know, tujjar, ibadat tujjar. This is the ibadat of tujjar, of the merchants, of businessmen. Business. Although business is encouraged in Islam. And money, 9 out of 10 of money a person can earn is from some sort of business. Allah has created rizq. 9 out of 10 portions of rizq is in business. You cannot make money without doing some sort of business. It has to have some business angle to it, so you can make some money. Okay. But that's about worldly things. It's the reality of life. But like so, ibadat of tujjar. The third, first is the ibadat and obedience of the slave. The second is the obedience of the business people. The third is people who worship Allah or do His obey Him, right? Hubban lahu, because they just love Him. And shukr, for the sake of shukr, because they want to, they feel that, you know, they have been blessed. And Allah deserves to be worshipped. He's worthy of worship only and no one else. They want to thank Him. They love Him and they won't thank Him, right? Tilka ibadatul ahrar. This is the ibadat of the free people. They're free of khawf and they're free of tama. They're free of fear and free of greed. It doesn't mean that, for example, the people who are the first kind are doing wrong. No. Allah will save them from hellfire. It is a good thing, taqwa, to keep the you know, bad actions have consequences, one should not do it because of the consequences. Well, for a beginner like me, it's a good thing. If I can really keep the you know, consequences of actions in my mind and I can keep away from wrong things, it's a good thing. Now another good thing is a person will say, okay, you know, I trust what the deal Allah is offering, I trust it and I do actions so Allah will give me that. It's out of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing is there is a self-interest involved. Now either it's the worldly interest of this dunya or it's some profit you hope to get in the next life. But after all, it's something that relates to you and you want to get it by doing that. So you are in a way, in a very blunt way of saying it, you are using Allah to get to that thing. You're using Allah to either get a car or a person you want to marry, or you're using Allah to get into Jannat. And you know the interesting part, and it's sad also, that on the day of Qiyamah, those who were praying for because of fear of hellfire, right? They will be saved from hellfire, they go towards the other side, right? Those who were praying for Jannat, for heaven, they will leave also. So imagine how many people in the day of judgment, I'm talking about the good people, will be left there for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say, okay, you were doing all this for Jannat, though, go ahead. You wanted to save yourself from hellfire, you are saved, you know. You wanted to get into some rank in paradise, okay, I give you, go ahead. Out of His honor, you know, His karam, Allah is kareem, and out of His karam, He blessed them and give them what they wanted. Out of all those people, how many will be saved? Oh, I'm not here for Jannat, you know. How many people will say that? I didn't pray because I wanted to use you to get to that place. I prayed because you are my Lord, because I loved you and because I must thank you. And I am doing it for you, and my reward is you and nothing else. How many people can truly really do that and say that in this dunya? And how many people will stand on that day and stay there and say, I am not going anywhere, I got my reward, right? How many people will come on a day of Qiyamah and say, oh Lord, you are sending me away from you, I did all this to get to you and now I found you, where else could I go, you know? There is no other way left for me. There is no Jannat left for me. There is no other Jannat. The Jannat is right here for me. And I was not seeking anything else. This is the highest level that a person can reach in this dunya, in his intentions, that he checks himself that I am not after money, I am not after material interests, and I am after something spiritual. And then that something spiritual also with the intention that Allah has the haqqut ta'a upon me. Allah has the right of obedience upon me, and I worship Him because, not because I fear Him for His dozakh, for His hellfire, or I'm greedy because that I want to get something by, because He says He's worthy and He is everything. He is the creator of Jannat. What are we talking about? He is, I mean, Jannat, what is Jannat? How can Jannat be a reward? For a person who believes in God, how could heaven be a reward for a person? If he truly knows who is he dealing with, who is he talking to when he stands up to pray, saying, who am I talking to? How could anything else be an ajr for me for worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It just doesn't make sense to such people because their worldview is a spiritual worldview. And they view other people in the same way. They look at it, for example, they appreciate the spiritual things people do. For example, if someone stands up to pray, they don't feel any jealousy, they don't judge them, say, for example, see, it must be. No, they like the fact that there are good things being done around them. They like the fact that, for example, masjid is being made. They like the fact that there are classes, there are religious programs, social work being done. They like the fact that someone is doing something good because they see a value of such things. They see a value in just having those good things done around them. They see a value of, for example, a good change in a society, from a change where there was a monarchy, you know, like in Iran, there was Shah who was just manipulating this desire of material desire of people. I will give you this, I will give you that, and taking them away from deen, taking them away from religion, taking off the hijab of the women, and you know, all nightclubs over Tehran and everything, forcing women to go into army and for military service. Religious families who used to be religious now were not religious anymore because he thrust this secular culture into their minds. Now people say, okay, I can make my economy better. Like for example, today in Islamic countries, they say, okay, you know, what is the best way to earn money, bring in revenue from outside? Alaikum salam. Promote tourism. This is a big thing, you know. Everybody's talking about tourism. From Pakistan should have Iran, the oldest culture, one of the oldest cultures in the world. They should promote tourism. What does that mean, really? Okay, tourism is a good thing. But what kind of tourism? When a Westerner generally, you know, go to a place for tourism, what do they expect from there? To drink and dance and do ugly things, all kinds of physical pleasures, they want to pursue those things, right? What if Iran would allow their island, the Kish and this and this, and Isfahan and Caspian Sea and all have these casinos and everything? Iran would be the richest country in the world, I can bet. It'll be the richest country in the world, because no other place can attract so many tourists than a culture which has been preserved from 3,000 years ago, still preserved today, even bigger, longer than that, right? But why aren't they doing it? And people say, why aren't they promoting this? Because it comes with a lot of baggage. They want to have a tourism, they want to get material benefit for the country, not at the expense of religious and spiritual, you know, loss. They can do that, but the spiritual loss to them is far greater than the billions of dollars that come into the country because of that. No, they will not do that. But who will appreciate that? So you see, the same, why our analysis is so different sometimes. Two people are talking, one person is saying about the same thing. One person is saying it's a good thing, the other is saying it's a bad thing. Because one person's perspective is a materialist perspective, and he's bent upon proving his point. The other person says, no, that's not all. In our life, there are things far greater than money that you must look for. This is not a big accomplishment for a person to become rich, just rich. But yes, if he can be rich and he can be a good person, promotes knowledge around him, promotes spirituality, you know, promotes, for example, religious, divine values, you know, human values, promotes human values, honesty, for example, that a person should be just, justice, promotes justice. Above all human qualities is justice. There cannot be any virtue above Adil. Adil means you give the right of every person what it belongs. You give what is due to everyone to him. When you remove people from where their appropriate places, their rightful places, that's where the zulm happens. You remove, for example, just and skilled and just, you know, committed people from where from they should be working, and bring in, you know, ignorant people, corrupt people, right? In their position, this is zulm. This is the basis of zulm. So if a person promotes justice around him, he speaks for justice. So now see, a person who values human value, who has, you know, an eye for spiritual values, he thinks that spiritual things are higher. The origin of this dunya is spiritual. The origin is not material. This dunya doesn't come out of atoms and molecules. This dunya came out of a creator who is not material creator, who is, you know, above matter, and who cannot be seen with these eyes, who cannot be limited in a place, who does not change, you know. When this kind of a person who thinks about this and he then addresses the issues, naturally he's going to promote such values in a society. And that's when the society starts changing. You can raise the slogans of human rights and justice and all of that, but if you are not a spiritually strong person, these slogans can be very misleading to the person who is raising the slogans also. A lot of people these days are saying, justice, you know, we are the 99%. Very good, speak out. Speak for your rights, and you know, if you believe that you have been wrong, then you should stand up for your rights. But I'm saying, why do you raise the slogan? If you are a materialist, you are just doing it because you lost your job. That's not good enough. Alaikum salam. That's not good enough. Just because you have a huge student loan, you stand up in a protest. Okay, good, but it's not good enough. You do it because you are a human being, and your cause is the same as the cause of a person in Afghanistan. Your cause is the same as a Myanmari, this poor people, you know, who are being slaughtered right now. You should then build a bridge with the human being. You have no sense of racism. You have no value for your own superiority in any way. You just see yourself as a person who must do the right thing. And for you, the right thing is not just self-interest. For you, the right thing is the right thing itself. And it's universal. It's good for all people. So you stand up for that. So before anything else, a person This philosophical question has to be answered, that not everything is material. And then you start checking, okay, how am I behaving? What is my, how I'm thinking? When am I talking to people, what's my niyat? What's my intention? When I'm even serving the masjid, what is my niyat? Why do I help serve the masjid? I'm doing it not for any name, not for any financial gain, you know. And I'm doing it because this is a good action, right? And Allah has a right that I should obey Him. Because He's Kareem and He will bless me, you know. I don't have to worry about Jannat. I don't have to fear hellfire because He's going to give that anyways. He's Kareem, you know. He created it. Just having Allah in my life is my reward. I don't have to think about anything beyond that. Just having Allah in my life, just remembering Him is the biggest possible reward I can get. And with that, you know, everything will be solved. Everything is solved. Religious values bring contentment in life. Religious life brings satisfaction in our life. You know, I'll just end with one short hadith. This is so eye-opening. Man qana alam yahzan. A person who is content, you know, he's never grieved. A person who has qana'at, right? Contentment, who is content, lam yahzan. He never has any huzn in his life. The basis of grief in our life is greed. When you want to have that car, if you don't have that car, then you're feeling sad. You wanted to have that sort of a salary, you didn't get it, now you're feeling grief. So the cause for depression, the cause for grief, partially I'm saying, can be this greed, right? So if you don't have that greed, you say, I'm happy with what I have. You look at what the good things you have, and a lot of people don't. So you are satisfied, you're shukr, you're thanking Allah for that, and there cannot be any huzn. Allah inna awliya Allah, la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. The friends of Allah, the awliya of Allah, there's no fear in their lives, and there's no grief in their lives. Fear of what? Fear of the future. What if I lose my job? What if something happens? What if, you know, something? Fear. And no huzn, wa lahum yahzanun, no huzn, no grief. Why? Because they don't look at, for example, things that they did not get in their past as losses. No. I did it for religion. Okay, I did not become a billionaire, but I'm happy that in place of that, I was able to do something good. He does not feel any grief for not having those opportunities with the person next to him may have gotten. If that person does not have Allah in his life, then this person, you know, is happier because he does not have any greed. The person who has everything because of his greed, he is feeling so much anguish and pain and grief in his life. You cannot describe. This person who has little, may have little or may have more. Doesn't matter. So a rich person can be very poor because of this greed. Never happy, never satisfied. And a poor person can be very happy because of the contentment that he has. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us in this holy month. And Friday night, inshallah, is the wiladat of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wa salam. Salawat. So we will, inshallah, celebrate that occasion here. So inshallah, bring your families and anyone you would like to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the zuhur of our Imam close. Sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alayhi tayyibin al-tahirin. Thank you.